Hello, radio friends. Welcome to a Back to the Bible radio broadcast, an outreach ministry of the Hoopers Creek Baptist Church. My name is Pastor Philip Youngblood, and we want to thank you for tuning in today, and we pray that the broadcast is a blessing to you as you listen. Well, good afternoon, and welcome once again to another Back to the Bible radio broadcast. We're thankful for each and every one of our listeners that tune in week to week, and we're excited today. We've got the Justice family up, and they're going to be singing, "Are You Coming?" And I know that it's going to be a blessing to you as you listen today. Grab you a sandwich and maybe a milkshake and take some time off of work, sit down for a little while, and enjoy the Justice family singing, "Are You Coming?"
It has the glory of God and the Lamb. Her light is most holy, a pure river of water from the throne of the great I Am. Are you coming?
Yes, I'm coming.
Are you coming?
Yes, I'm coming. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Are you going?
Yes, I'm going.
That's the Justice family singing, "Are You Coming?" And we appreciate them helping us on the broadcast today. We have been studying about Solomon's temple and how that Solomon developed and how that he prepared and how that he made all of those provisions and all of those things. He had a plan. And we've been talking about the architect of the building, and we've been talking about the materials that were used and different things. Friends, wouldn't it have been amazing for us to be able to see Solomon's temple before it was destroyed? I would have loved to have seen that. I'm sure it was magnificent. I mean, all of these things that they're being described in the scriptures, it's just amazing to me watching it all unfold. I would have loved to have seen all of those things about Solomon's temple. But it's amazing to me really how that all of these things were prepared off-site. They prepared those things. They chiseled all the stones. They prepared all the beams. All of those things were done off-site and then was brought to the holy site. And so those are some of the things that we're going to be speaking about today. Hope this message is a blessing to you. Today's going to be part three of the message that we've been preaching this week, entitled, "God Has a Plan." We're focusing on 1 Kings chapter number 6 in verse number 7. The Bible says, "And the house, when it was in building, was built of stone made ready before it was brought thither, so that there was neither hammer nor axe nor any tool of iron heard in the house while it was in the building." We've looked at the architect of this house, and today we're going to be looking at the materials of this house. The next thing that we find as far as the building of the materials of the Lord's house was the timber. I want you to focus on this timber for just a moment. What I seen in the timber was this. Look at the verse number 6. "Now therefore," in chapter number 5, verse 6. "Now therefore, command thou that they hew me cedar trees out of Lebanon." I want to tell you today, look here. Why do y'all like cedar so much? It smells good. Whoa! It smells good. Not only that, but did you know that cedar has the ability, it's got a resistance to decay and bugs. Bugs don't really like it because of the smell of it. And so they resist it a lot of time, but it has a ability to resist decay. Can I tell you, man, while we sing Christ as the chief cornerstone, I also see him this morning, just a good picture of that cedar tree. You say, what are you saying, preacher? When it comes to the timber of this temple, that cedar wood paints a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ and his holiness. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about that he was without sin. He was without blemish this morning. He was without decay. He was without corruption. There was nothing like him. When comparing this material to any other tree in the world, you can say this, that's just the best one for the Lord's house. Can I tell you, if you start comparing the Lord Jesus Christ to Buddha, Muhammad, and everybody else, you're going to find yourself, you ain't going to find no comparison for, he is like no other. He's perfect in every way. We've looked at the architect, points to Jesus, but we've looked at the material. But let me give you this thought here. What about the tools of the house? His plan involves specific tools. Notice what the Bible says. And the house, verse number 7, once again, our text verse. And the house, when it was in building, was built of stone made ready before it was brought thither. So that there was neither hammer nor axe nor any tool of iron heard in the house while it was in the building. Now, if you look at these tools, you'll find three different categories. Number one, you find the hammer. Number two, the axe. Number three, any tool of iron. That hammer was spoken about in Jeremiah chapter number 23, verse 29. Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. A hammer is a picture this morning of God's word. It'll straighten you out. When you got rough edges, that hammer will come alongside and it'll show you the blemishes to which you have that's sticking out in your life. Can I tell you the reason why that we got so many people that don't look like Christians is because they won't let the word of God, the hammer, amen, straighten them out. You know, you say, preacher, I don't like it when you preach on sin, and I don't like it when you preach on this. Well, listen, I'm just preaching what the Bible says, amen. If you're guilty, you got something sticking out, let God knock it off. It'll help your life, friend. It'll straighten you right out. Look at the axe for just a moment. Let me say this to you right here. First, the axe, it's a picture of God's divine power that brings about a finished work. Now think about this. Over in, it's not too far. You go on in the book of Kings for a little bit, and they was out there felling a beam. Y'all remember that story? These men was out felling a beam. They was chopping this beam out. It was edging it. It was delimbing it and all kinds of things like that, getting it straight. And they had an accident. The old boy had this accident, and the head of it flew off. And it rolled down the hill, and it got down into the water. You're talking about a bad situation. There wasn't no Ace Hardware, amen. No Lowe's and no Home Depot there. You just run out of the store and get one, amen. That's a big deal. You say, well, what did it cause, preacher? Well, it caused the work to stop immediately. Things stopped on the work and the progress that was being done. Can I tell you this morning, look here. I believe that acts as a representation of the power of God in your life. If you lose the power of God, you've lost everything. You lose the power of God. Listen, friend, you might as well just stop. You need to go back to the place where you lost it. You need to get plugged back in, find that axe head again, put it back on, and keep going on for the glory of God. Amen. When we know that Elisha came down there and he took a stick and threw it in the water, amen, and the axe head did swim. You say, I ain't believing that, preacher. Go read it. It did. Right, got that old axe head begin to swim. You say, how? The divine architect had a plan for it, amen. The hammer, the axe. But then, what about them other tools? Any tool of iron. Can I tell you, the book of Proverbs 27:17 says, that iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. This tool seems to be a reminder that we must keep our thoughts sharp on the things of God. Because when you rub two blades together, they become sharper than any two-edged sword. That book right there, if you just rub the pages every morning, if you just rub the pages in the evening, before long you'd find out, man, that book right there that's been has a divine architect is trying to shape you into being something sharp for God's glory so that you can go to work for the glorious grace of God.
There's some tools. And then we go on. Then I want to give you this, maybe this last thought on the plan for the house of God. Does anybody know how long it took to build this house of the Lord? If you go over there in chapter number 6, go to verse number 38, the last verse. The last verse. And in the 11th year, in the month of Bull, which is the 8th month, was the house finished throughout all the parts thereof, and according to all the fashion of it. So he was 7 years in building. Now I begin to think about this building which Solomon set out to build. Brother Ted, I got thinking about this number 7. We know in numerology that, man, that number 7 represents God's perfect number of completion. So that's not a happenstance. That didn't just happen that they finished up on the 7th year. No, God had a plan and a purpose for those things, amen. How long did it take the Lord to create the world? The Bible said he created the world, the earth in 6 days. The creation was done in 6 days, and on the 7th day he rested, amen. We could go on and on and on about those that specific number, but I want you to see this morning. Divine architect. I believe there was some divine material placed there, amen. I believe also, look here, there were some tools involved off-site, amen, that you and I didn't see. Amen. Then there was also this, a perfect plan of completion. I want to talk just for a moment about the plan that God has for your life. Let's just stop for just a moment. I want you to look here, and I want you to think about this. You stay with me for the next couple of minutes, all right? Yeah. I want you to talk about the plan that God has for your life. Just as God has this plan for this temple, God has a plan for your life. Did you know that each one of us make up the temple of God? Did you know that each one of us is a temple of the Holy Ghost? It's a place where God dwells, amen? There's the outer court, the inner court, and the most holy place where the Spirit of God dwells, amen? Think about, just for a moment, the plan that God has for your life. In the Garden of Eden, we understand that man sinned in the garden, devastating to us. Sin was introduced to the world because man disobeyed God's command. While the man disobeyed God's command, something terrible had to take place. Something innocent had to die for the guilty to cover that sin. While in heaven, this situation that took place in the garden was not an afterthought of God. God knew what man would do, but yet God had to allow man to make a decision and allow man to make a choice because of free will. Man brought us into the place where every single one of us were born into sin. I was born into sin. You were born into sin. But that doesn't change what God has already authored and penned down in the heavens. God knew, look here, that we would need a Savior. Can I tell you that long before Calvary's Hill, that God Almighty had a plan, friend. He knew that mankind would sin. He knew. Listen, you say, what are you saying, preacher? I'm trying to tell you that Jesus was not an afterthought. Jesus was not an add-on to the situation. Jesus was always part of the plan, friend. Can I tell you, when we get to Calvary, what we find is this. We find at Calvary's Hill, there was a hammer there. There was nails there. There was timber there. But can I tell you this? However, praise God, there was enough material there at Calvary's Hill to take care of the sin problem, friend. Yeah. Jesus Christ up there, the spotless Lamb of God, amen, took your place. He took my place on Calvary's Hill so that we could stand before God one day in His holy temple and one of these days shout it out for the glorious grace of God because, hey, God Almighty, might do what He's doing. He's a great architect, friend. He didn't come upon this day and say, I don't have a plan. What am I going to do? He's not pulling His hair out. He knows exactly where we're at. He knows exactly what time we're on. He knows exactly where you're at.
Thank you for tuning in to another Back to the Bible radio broadcast. We would like to invite you to come out and be a part of our church. We are located at 71 Hoopers Creek Church Road. That's in Fletcher, North Carolina, 28732. If you'd like to write us, our mailing address is P.O. Box 1856, Fletcher, North Carolina, 28732. Also, check us out on the World Wide Web at hooperscreekbaptist.com or download our church app where you can get the verse of the day and enjoy some great preaching and singing from our choir. Have a great day. Tune in tomorrow for another Back to the Bible radio broadcast.